Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 24, verses 29 through 51. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 24th chapter. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have said what I have to say." They said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. He shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan. And if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. And then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We continue the second of three parts on this long trip to get Rebekah, to fetch her, bring her back to be wife to Isaac. And it all seems a bit much to me, I suppose. But it's much like our Lord's dramatic and grandiose first miracle, that he provides so much wine at that wedding. And the church has always looked at that and said, isn't this a way of showing that the Lord highly esteems marriage? Should we not also see that this long and repetitive story is doing the same thing as well? And all the more since Isaac is the son of promise, through whom the offspring of Abraham and all the patriarchs will be, Christ Jesus, in whom all nations, us as well, are blessed. But we begin with plenty of hospitality and all of these back and forth negotiations, which would have been common in those days, and would be known to us, I suppose, if we had more knowledge of the ancient world. We see that these are customs, and of course customs come and go and change, and yet we should learn from the past to see how highly they esteem the family, how important it is that those who are going to be married would get to know each other, that they would find out whether Rebecca, if she should go with these strangers, will be provided for, whether she'll have a good home, whether in fact Isaac is of good will, whether in fact this servant can be trusted. And all of these social things are to serve what is actually true and good from God, his estate of the home, without which the church and the state will fall as well. Our focus is entirely on this servant. He's never named, except that he's the oldest and most prominent of Abraham's servants, which makes us think perhaps it's Eliezer, the one that Abraham said, maybe you'll have to be my heir since I have no children, until the Lord gave him Isaac. Look at how he acts, always lifting up his master, serving just as Paul encourages us also, as we take it now, as all employers ought to take for their own vocation, to serve never as if we were just pleasing men, most of all ourselves, but serving as if serving the Lord himself. So first, we see that he is so urgent to get his message across, to make these negotiations, to see that indeed his master's son will have a wife, that he refuses the food that's put before him while the animals are off eating. He's got to get these words out. He's got to do what his master commanded him to do. It's quite the opposite of what the Lord says in Luke chapter 12, when he gives great honor to those servants that are found ready. There, unusually, it's the master who sits down and prepares the meal for his servants. This servant, Eliezer, is worth that, of course. Shows by his faithfulness that he not only trusts in Abraham and heeds loyally his command, but that he believes in the God of Abraham, the Lord, who is commanding all things for the good of his servants. Notice, he never mentions what his name might be, but he lauds his master Abraham. He shows how he has great wealth, how he has great flocks, and all of these great things, but the focus is on the blessing of the Lord. Without the Lord, Abraham would have none of it. All of this, all of the events, all of the riches, all of it is ascribed to the Lord's appointing. We Christians ought to do the same thing. We never know what's going to happen. It's difficult for us to say so clearly, well, surely God planned this thing for me, and I know that, I guess, because it went the way I wanted. The sure thing we can do is say the Lord is working good for his own, and we can give thanks for that. We can do as the servant does constantly, over and over again, to bow down and to praise the Lord for what happens, even though it's clearly his own doing, it's clearly those around him. He knows that the Lord is behind it all, and since he trusts in him, he gives him the credit. Lastly, it's very interesting that when he asks them for the answer, he puts it this way, are you going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master? Those are pretty important words. Those are the words that describe our Lord's character and disposition. When he passes in front of Moses, he says that he will have mercy and steadfast love on those whom he chooses, that the Lord is a true Lord, one who is trustworthy, as we've said many times. So he's looking for people who will act in accordance with the Lord's own character and in light of the Lord's own doing. God grant that it would be so among us as Christians, that one, we would act like that. We would want to imitate the Lord in his steadfast love, in his trustworthiness, in his faithfulness, his openness in all of our dealings and conversation. But also that we would seek to win others over, even pagans from a far-off land like this, that they also would come to recognize the Lord, that they also would act in accordance with his character, but all for this purpose, that they would trust in him and believe in him and know his love toward them. So it seems, whether or not Laban became a Christian, a servant of the Lord or not, he certainly has to consider it. Even they say, who can stand in the way of this Lord? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS Office of International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about the LCMS Office of International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.